are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at Lighthouse Chapel International Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you enjoy this anointed word.
With your people singing praises, I'd love to stand and rejoice.
Hallelujah! You shall be anointed in Jesus' name. The anointing shall come upon you in Jesus' name. As you walk as a servant of God, as a daughter of the house, as a son of the house, it is your heritage. Receive your heritage, the anointing, in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bless your name. We thank you for your mighty presence in this place. We thank you for the gift of life and health. We thank you for the greatest gift of salvation through your beloved son Jesus Christ. Thank you for your mighty Holy Spirit who came to replace his activities and replaced forever. We pray that this anointing will operate right now through your word, or operate right now in this environment, that the power of God will come through. For the kingdom of God is not just in word, but in power. Lord, anoint every word, every second here. And let your word bring salvation, healing, deliverance, answers to life's questions. We bind every work of Satan. We pray that all your children are blessed as your word comes in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Amen. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Give three people a high five. Give three people with a smile. Don't accept the high five without a smile. Don't accept the high five without a smile. Let me see your smile. Come on. Come. Come on, come on. Anointing also comes when you actually flow. Yeah. Come on. I see some graces coming upon your life. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. All right, put your hands together one more time. We give God the glory. Amen. Wow. Now you can sit on top of your enemies with all confidence. Crush your enemy. Crush that, you know, poor finances enemy. Crush that joblessness enemy. Crush that attack on your family. Crush that poor great enemy in Jesus' name. Crush it, Jesus' name. I tell you, you may think it's a joke, but by faith, Bible says anything that is done without faith is sin. So if you crush without faith, you have sinned. Crush it in faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Grind it. Hallelujah. Now, you know, a guy was blind and Jesus just spat and put in the mix and said, wash your face with that thing. Just like a joke. The eye saw. Sometimes you do not know the importance of instructions until you see the results. Yeah. We are in a spiritual environment. Therefore, anything can happen. Just a simple obedience to the word, crush that financial enemy, can actually cause you to for your debt to be erased. Yeah. Like I just told somebody, you know what? Your car is lost, it will come. And don't worry, when it comes, use it for this, this, and it came in a condition that can be used for everything I told him to do. In Jesus' name. May, if a thief is ever going to come to your place, may it be a thief corrector. In Jesus' name. A thief that leaves you far better than he came. In Jesus' name. Yeah. One time, a guy came to crash my car from behind and the insurance gave me money. I was alive, the insurance gave me money. The money was far more than I bought the car. Yeah. And they tried to tow the car. I said, no, I will discard it myself. I took the money and took the car. May you have that portion in Jesus' name. Nothing bad will happen to you in Jesus' name. If anything has to happen, we will make you better than you were before. Say, I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, what a miracle. Your miracle is on the way. Your miracle money is on the way. Your congratulation is on the way. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I saw a scripture that I realized that I had to speak to you prophecies more often. In Isaiah 34 verse 16. Isaiah chapter 34 verse 16. The Bible talks about the fact that the second part, that he says that search the book of the Lord and see and read. No one of these shall fail. Yeah. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. That means coupling. You see, coupling. When you do something, there's a response. Yeah. For my mouth, it has commanded, and God's spirit will gather them. Clap for the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
There's another version that says, my mouth has spoken, and God's spirit will make it come to pass. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So I will speak so that the spirit of the Lord will come to pass. How do you think prophecies work? How do you think prophecies work? The man of God has to speak in faith. And the spirit of God carries it and works it into your life. Yeah. Nothing else. That's how it operates. Because I'm a servant of God. Do you know that? The Bible says in the book of John chapter 3 verse 34. He that is sent of God speaketh the words of God. And the Lord, the Father, he gives that person his spirit without measure. Yeah. That's what it is. Whom God has sent. What I speak is the word of God. I'm speaking an inspiration. And God supplies the spirit to the words without measure. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, the last verse, he said that he went about and everywhere the disciples went to preach, when they spoke, he confirmed the word that they spoke with signs following. That's how it happens. Every prophecy will come to pass in your life in Jesus' name. Yeah. My mouth shall speak, and the spirit of the Lord, it shall gather the words and let it come to pass. In Jesus' name, it shall be your portion. Now, the conversion we are going to have from Wednesday to Sunday, Wednesday to Friday, 3 days, every 7 p.m., Wednesday evening, Thursday evening, Friday evening, we will top it up with the carol service on Friday. Clap for the Lord Jesus. It will be a prophetic convention in Jesus' name. My words, they have commanded, and his spirit will gather the words and make it time to pass. It will be a prophetic convention. I will speak into your life by the grace of God. There's a certain authority that God gives to your pastor to speak into your life. Bible says, he that receives you receives it. John 13 verse 20. Say that if you receive me, you receive Jesus. If Jesus was standing speaking into your life, you would receive it. I pray that you receive the prophecies in Jesus' name. So to be a prophetic convention, I will speak into your life. Every bad thing somebody has spoken into your life as a curse, it will turn around into your blessing in Jesus' name. We will reverse the curses in Jesus' name. Amen. You watch it. God will do it. I said I will speak so that God will do it in Jesus' name. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It will happen in Jesus' name. It will happen in Jesus' name. You know, so the theme of that convention is labor to be blessed. Yeah. Labor to be blessed. Labor to be blessed. Yeah. Your effort should aim at the blessing. Yeah. Focus on the blessing. You know, when Jacob was laboring, even in negative, Esau was called for a blessing. He went out to labor and to work hard. What did he want? A blessing. That's all. From that day, his life changed. This convention will change your life. This convention will change your life. That theme is labor to be blessed. We are all our Jacobic past of stealing and swindling, all kinds of deals to crookery. Not cookery, crookery. It will be changed to God's blessing in Jesus' name. You shall no more be Jacob. You shall be called Israel. A prince you shall be. Purple shall be your color. Royal shall be your status. In Jesus' name. Put your hands together for Jesus. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'm excited already. Everyone who's writing exams this week, the Holy Spirit will help you in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
I sent text to all the college students. I said that indeed the Lord who keeps Israel will keep you from falling. In Jesus' name. It's the truth. And the thing that caused Daniel to excel above his colleagues when he was just a refugee, a write-off. Whatever your previous bad grades, don't walk in the failure and the doubt of it. Walk in the faith of Jesus Christ. You shall do well in Jesus' name. Shall do well. Father, I pray for all college and high school students who are writing exams. Bring excellence into their lives. Your word says you gave this Daniel and the Hebrew boys. You gave them knowledge and wisdom, skill in all learning and wisdom. And you even give them visions and dreams. Let them have visions and dreams about the exams. Whatever they read, give them a vision and direction as to what to emphasize. And through these visions and skills, they excelled. And when they tested them, they were 10 times better than all their colleagues. May that scripture come to pass in every student's life. In Jesus' name. And everyone who's going for interview also in Jesus' name. Amen. Clap for the Lord Jesus Christ. I feel convention spirit is here already. I feel the blessing has started already. I see your prophecy coming to pass already. Tell somebody, don't miss the convention for all the rice in China. For all the steak in Memphis. Wow. For all the red in the choir. In the choir. Hallelujah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, today I am bringing you a word from the Lord. Say, a word from the Lord. And, okay. All right, the book is not here, but it is in Spiritual Dangers. You know, I wanted to show you the sub-book called, I wanted to give you a sub-book of the spiritual dangers, but no problem. You know, there are certain things that are dangerous spiritually. You know, anything that you see, there was a certain father. You know, I visited the house, and then the child was misbehaving. The child was trying to touch the electric cooker, electric stove. Each time the father would pull, go back, father would pull, go back. And at a point, I saw the father just leave the child to go and burn his hand. I said, what is this guy doing? The guy touched. Oh, ah! From that day, he never touched it again. He never touched it again. It was a danger. It was dangerous. Tell somebody, what a shock. But you should not get into certain dangers. I'm talking about the danger of fornication. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Oh, your clapping is a bit too soft. Spiritual dangers. One of them is the danger of fornication. Tell somebody, what a danger. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. Fornication simply is sexual intercourse premaritally. Having sexual intercourse when you are with somebody that you are not married to. It has cousins and sisters. You know, one of the sisters is adultery. That means having sexual intercourse with somebody that, although you are married, you are having sexual intercourse with somebody else. It's called adultery, it's a sister. And then has cousins. Cousins are having sexual intercourse in the wrong places, like the anus, which is now called homosexuality. Yeah. You know, homosexuality is, today I found out that it's actually from a Greek word. That means to become soft inappropriately. Yeah. You're a man, inappropriate softness. That's essentially, oh no, well, let's open it. It's in the Bible, in Romans. You know, in fact, let's open to Ephesians chapter. No, don't go to Ephesians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 9. I'm going to read the passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. 9 to the end. I'm going to just read a passage to you, and then we'll take home from there. Amen. 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 So I found that I did not know that that word meant that. So. Somebody said, what a shock. It's a shock here. Now, so the Bible says in verse 9, New King James, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators. Hey. First accused, fornication. You will not enter the kingdom of God. I'm not saying it, it's the Bible. If you have any quarrel, pick it up with God. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters or idol worshippers. When you worship idol, you have no place in the kingdom. Nor adulteress, that's the sister. That's a big sister. Because you have to be married to see little children are not married. When they get married and they do it, you are not a big sister. That's senior sister. No homosexuals. That's a cousin. Because it's not in the same area. It's in another area. It's a new generation. The second generation. It's a new sin. It's called, the word is malakos. Malakos. The Greek is malakos. Tell someone malakos. It means of uncertain, unsure, soft affinity. Fine. Hey guys, you are supposed to be hard, but you're fine and soft. You know what I'm saying? One time, I was telling somebody this, and then it was Sherry. She hit my hand. I said, Pastor, don't do that. I said, what have I done? She said, the way you're doing your hand, everybody would think you're one of them. I said, one of who? One of who? She said, it's a soft pose. Homosexuality, it comes from the Greek word malakos, which means to be soft, fine, effeminate, catamite, soft. That's the word. That's actually what it means. Yeah. Soft to touch. In a bad sense. Of a boy kept for homosexual relationships with a man. Of a male who submits. When Bible says husbands, wives submit. This one. A male has become wife and is submitting. It's a catamite. It's a malakos. Yeah. A male who submits his body to unnatural lewdness. A male prostitute. I shouldn't say it, eh? I shouldn't preach it, eh? I'm going to explain to you that there is nothing wrong with preaching this. And I'll preach it. Tell somebody, Pastor will preach it! So, homosexuals. Nor sodomites. You know, somebody said that they have overdone this sodomite thing. It's not in the Bible, and, you know, it's Sodom and Gomorrah. It was just that the guys came and tried to sodomize this, tried to sleep with the angels, the guests, angel guests. And even when they were given virgin ladies, they didn't take. And that's why the place was called Sodom. It's not because of anything that it was there, a lot of other sins. I didn't know that the word sodomite is in the Bible. Yeah, it's a sodomite. And the meaning is, the Greek word is asinocoitus. Asinocoitus. I didn't say that. I'm just telling you the Greek word. You can explain it for yourself. There's asin something there and there's coitus there. It sounds exactly like what it is. There's something called onomatopoeia. Or onomatopoeia. This is it. It's self-explanatory. The Greek, it comes from the Greek word that has both coitus and the other word. Arsenals and, you know, Manchester's. Yeah. That's what Sodom is. Greek word says it. Yeah, that's the word. Check your Bible. You see that I'm telling the truth. Yeah. Sodom, abuser of self with mankind. Abuser of oneself. defiling oneself with a human, male kind, mankind, kind of man. Yeah. One male who lies with a male as if it was with a female. Yeah. Sodomite. Clap for the Lord Jesus. It's a good message already. Listen, if you give me a job and I'm not doing it, you give me a job as a driver and I'm not driving you to the right place, will you not fire me? Yeah, you fire me. Now, the job of a pastor is like a driver. You know, he's supposed to lead the children of God to the kingdom of God. It's just like a Moses, lead from Egypt to the promised land, through the Red Sea. Sometimes it's hard to go through the wilderness. Messages will be tough to take. But so long as we're going in the right direction, you should clap for the driver. Yeah. And I see if it's you. Or how many want to join the kingdom of God? Or when all is said and done, you don't want to end in hell. You want to end in the kingdom. You want to operate in the kingdom. Bible says there is a certain road that when we take, you will enter the kingdom. If I'm your driver, and I don't, and do you know, by the way, that the job of the pastor is also called driver or pilot? It came from the word poimen. Poimen means to steer, to pilot, to direct, to drive, to guide into the right place. That's, pastor is the word poimen. Pastor or shepherd, poimen, P-O-I-M-E-N. Yeah, it's a divine navigator. And if I don't direct you right, we will all go and realize, hey, pastor didn't tell us this. I'm going to tell you, you do what you want with it. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Not homosexuals. Not thieves. They won't go there. Convert to us. You see somebody's wife, you want to take the wife. You won't go to heaven. Drunkards. Nor revilers. Extortionists will not inherit the kingdom of God. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And it goes on in verse 11 to say, and such were some of you, including me, such were some of us. How many have committed fornication before? Give me away if you've committed fornication before. We're all here. Hey, Pastor Dan, are you too? I accept until... Okay. I'm not saying you are doing it, or you've done it before. You done even that one too. He says you are lying about this one too. Even the past. The Bible knows you. Says you used to belong to these groups. As such, as some of you. It's not all of you. That's why some of you, people like Lady Pastor, they are not nice people. They were not part of it. Hallelujah, you miss. Anyway, by the grace. Forgive. Mercy, Lord. Father, forgive me. Ladies and gentlemen, it was a joke. Don't quote me anywhere. Okay. If you know what I'm about to preach, you realize that she did the right thing. We didn't. Because your pastor was not a virgin when he married this virgin of your lady pastor. Say somebody, pastor. If I knew that, I wouldn't have joined. But it's too late. Yeah. So as I'm talking about fornication, I know what it is. Yeah. Such were some of you. I'm going to reread it. Such were some of you. In fact, such were some of us. Everybody says such were some of us. Where are my teammates? Where are my teammates? Let's give a wave. Say hey! Yeah. No, we are rejoicing because we have been delivered. Irene, have we not been delivered? Hey! We are delivered. If you give it to us, we won't take in Jesus' name. Yeah. The last time I checked to check my healing, a certain nurse was naked in my room. And I said, I can't do this. I said, get up and go. All naked, ready for the harvest. I say, I can't do this. I look and I say, Lord, I'm a Christian. There are implications to this. If I do this, it will not be well with me. The Bible says the days of ignorance, God winked us. He winked at. But now, the Lord is calling everybody to repentance. Turn around. Turn around. Turn around. Yeah. So the naked beauty, black beauty, lying there, ready at 20. I remember so well. As I told the lady, get up and go, she told me, you have really embarrassed me. I said, I'm sorry. But like Joseph, I can't do this and sin against my God. You must go. You must go. You must go. Red hot. But I said, this red heat, I better redirect it to my passion for God. We are first lovers. We must love God first before that black beauty. Since then, I've never seen her, to the glory of God. Amen. It's never happened again. Amen. This shall be your story in Jesus' name. You will see a black beauty, but your love for God, just like Joseph. Bible says, from that time that Joseph decided fornication is over, his life ascended like speed. Yeah. Joseph became from a refugee who was slave sold and convicted of sleeping with the master's wife. All because of his love for God and refusal to fornicate. To sleep with somebody that he was not married to brought him a lot of trouble. But he said, if this is for God, I'll do it. I'll do it. His life changed. Your life is about to change as you hear this message. You are about to be called Joseph, even if it's going to be difficult to do it. Some of you will make some difficult decisions after this message. But because you have to pay the price to be a Joseph, you'll be favored. You become a favorite. You become anointed. You'll be promoted. You will occupy a position that you would otherwise never have occupied because of the demons of fornication. Yeah. Your appetite will be transformed. Oh, you are blessed already. I can see from your smiles. Clap for the Lord Jesus. It says, and such were some of you, but you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That is still intact. You can be washed. You can be sanctified. You can be justified by the name of the Lord Jesus and by His Spirit. Your marriage will be so beautiful. Eh? Your life will be so clean. Eh? The anointing on your life will be so strong. Eh? Your place in heaven will be so settled. Eh? Your conscience will become so clear. Eh? Your relationship with God will become so sweet. In Jesus' name. Amen. Clap for the Lord Jesus. That's my way of introduction. So, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. Fornication all about fornication. Not fornication made easy. All about fornication. That's the subtitle of the message. Ephesians 5:3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as you have become saints. God considers all Christians as saints. Turn to somebody, say Saint Irene. Saint Cheryl. Saint Daniel. Yeah, turn and say Saint. And you respond, say, I receive it. Okay. Yeah, you're a saint. Now the New King James is what you just showed me. Show me the New King James. It says, but fornication. And all uncleanness. There's one that says all forms of sexual immorality. So as I'm speaking, I'm talking about both the sisters and the cousins. You know, another cousin is pornography. Yeah, pornography. Sexual immorality. See, look, New Living says, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, greed among you. Such things have no place amongst God's people. Yeah. Stop that pornographic nonsense. As becometh a saint. It's a cousin. It's a close relative. Close family relative. And they're very highly connected. Lesbianism. Just because you don't enter any place does not mean anything. Yeah. Lesbianism is part of it. Yeah. It's a bad, you will understand. Today I want to share with you about reasons, several reasons why you should not commit sexual sins. I would have said fornication, but because there are a lot. Fornication, adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism, pornographism, all the zims. Hallelujah. Number one, because fornication is disobedience. Because sexual sin is disobedience. Ah, are you preaching this in church for real? Oh yeah, for real. You know, somebody said all this fornication nonsense is of old. It's archaic. It's old school Christianity. We're in the new school. Oh, create your new heaven then. Create your new Bible. So fornication is sin. Adultery is sin. It's disobedience. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22 and 23. Please open it. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and 23. But Samuel replied, New King James, what is more pleasing to the Lord? Your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice? What is more pleasing? That is to say, when you come to church and you lift up your tithe, you lift up your offering, you lift up your worship, you lift up your praise, what is more important? You think is the sacrifices, or you come to the choir, or you are here early to clean, versus obeying him, which is more pleasing to him? Do you think it's your money that he wants? The silver and the gold, they are his. He doesn't need it. What is more pleasing to God? Your sacrifices or your obedience to his voice. He says, listen, listen. Tell somebody, listen. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And submission is better than offering the fat of rams for sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Which is more pleasing? Even you as a parent, a child who every time is bringing you candies, got some shoes for you, brought gifts, but will never do anything you say. Won't sweep, won't clean dishes, won't wake up early, won't make the bed. You speak, he speaks. You say once, he says 15. You will never like the person. I'm telling you, all of you children who disobey your parents don't like you. It's not a nice thing to say, so they won't tell you, but they don't like you. You are in the heart, you are hated. Because of your disobedience. Yeah. You are a frustration to that parent. Young people, are you listening to me? Yes. You are not liked. You are not liked at all. Only we can't tell you we don't like you. You are a pain. Yeah. Bible says of Esau that he was a pain to his parents because of his disobedience. But Jacob, though he was a swindler, he was obedient and they liked him. His mother liked him so much that his mother said, I'll steal for you. God, if he was in human form, he would even want to steal. He would be like Jacob's mother because of your obedience. But Esau was into sacrifices. That's why the father called him, go and get a sacrifice for me. He was not into obedience. The father was forced. Because he's a firstborn, to bless him. He didn't want to bless him. How do I know? If somebody gives you a good feeling, you don't need a ram, food before you bless a person. The feeling is there. I don't need you to bring anything to change my attitude from the inside. You are a nice person to me already. I like you anyway, food or not. But when you have to bring food for the Father to, or bring something favorite, bring an offering. You know, I have to drink. Some husband told me, no, when I'm going to, you know, a certain wife said, look, my husband is so wicked and so some way. When my husband wants to have ministration with me, I have to drink. Drink myself drunk. Now, that's how we are when we walk in disobedience to God. We become very, look, when Adam and Eve, nice, became disobedient, they had to go out. Disobedience is, Bible says, if you will be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Children that are good, oh, that are obedient, when you say, you don't even say it before we buy it. The thing is there, we're just waiting for you to say it. Oh, yeah. It's the truth. Yesterday, something happened that really touched my heart among one of my children. I told my child, you know, some people are studying in the library. So go and join them. And my child told me, oh, this library that you have to stay there for about 6 hours, it's like I've been arrested in jail. That feeling, I don't like it. So, Daddy, please, let me study here so that in between, I can take a break after some 30 minutes. And I told the child, you might want to reconsider because, you see, your results don't reflect that what you're doing is good. So, no. There's also a lot of disturbance in the library. People are moving, chatting, discussing. So give me all that kind of reason. But the main reason was that, you know, to sit hours, I don't want to feel arrested. But I previously said that in college and in things and whatever you are doing, this is how you should do it. So I just decided this time I'm not going to talk. I just walked off. I just went and relaxed in my bed and took my iPad. I was there and that child appeared. 5 minutes after that. Say, you know, Daddy, I thought about what you're saying. That I've tried, I'm doing something, it's not working.
Mercy.
My goodness. Yeah. Said, Daddy, it's true. It's time to change. Time to just do what you're saying. Because I've done what I've tried, it's not worked. I thought about it. I'd rather do what you say. So I'm going to go to the library. I'm going to try and work my way out of this arresting feeling and start behaving that way. Perhaps that's what I've always needed. And see, I said, you are blessed. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I just said, you are blessed, brother. That's all I said. But my heart went out to him as a man. Obedience is such a beautiful thing. Disobedience is such a stinking thing. You know what disobedience is like? The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, says rebellion is as the witchcraft and stubbornness, is as iniquity and idolatry. Do you know what that means? Disobedience is rebellion. When you are walking in rebellion, you have moved and you are influenced by Satan. Witchcraft is you are being manipulated away. The same way that Adam and Eve were manipulated away from God. It's rebellion. And stubbornness, when you are fixed. Yesterday I told somebody that your behavior is stubbornness. You are under witchcraft power. You are under manipulation. I told the person, do this. Dude, don't do this. This thing will lead to a problem. At the point I had to tell the person, you know what? What you're doing, I've quoted the word of God to you. God is standing on this side. Let's say somebody says, I'm going to divorce. Let's use the extreme case. And I tell the person, don't divorce. Say, I'm going to divorce. You are with the person for 3 hours discussing this. And then I told them, you know what? God is standing on one side, preventing you from divorce. The devil is standing on one side, wanting you to divorce. You're under witchcraft power if you go by that. You're under manipulation. I represent God through his word. I'm telling you what the word of God says. Everything you are saying, said, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So as you're angry, you're speaking foolishness. It's a demon language you're speaking. And you go with the demon instead of going with God. Choose.
Said this is what Adam and Eve were based on, and then they chose. When you choose fornication, sweet as it will make your feeling have, you have chosen to be manipulated. You are walking in stubbornness. You are persisted in your way. Yeah, it's not a blessing. He said it's as idolatry. It's the same as serving another god. God is saying something on one side, and you are saying something that is not what God is saying. It's idol worship, stubbornness. I'm fixed. I'm going to continue doing it. It's idol. That's how it's idol. Disobedience to God is idolatry. You are obeying something that is not of God. And it's not, God is on one side pulling Satan. That's why the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 7, he says that submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Yeah. So it's a submission. Disobedience is very serious. God compares it to idol worship because you are obeying some other spirit. There are many, anybody who walks in disobedience, you are walking in idolatry and stubbornness. And witchcraft. Yeah. Is there. And he said something that amazed me. He said, because you have refused the word of the Lord, the word concerning fornication, I have also, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, I have also rejected you from being king. Yeah. I have also rejected you from being king. Your royal crown is taken away when you walk in disobedience. Yeah. That's why David looked and in Genesis 39, verse 10, said, how can I do this evil? Joseph, sorry. Do this evil and sin against God. Genesis 39, I'll be verse 9 or verse 10. He said, I will not take another God. The God who took me out of slavery from the pit, from the killing, is now here with me. And this is the time to just out of how many minutes of pleasure? How many minutes is it? For those who remember, Irene, I don't remember. It's been a long time. Akwi, do you remember? You don't remember. We've been a long time. We've been born again for a long time. Clap for the Lord Jesus. It's been a long time. We came from Egypt long ago. Oh, about 35 years ago. We don't remember. I mean, who are the new entrants? Tell me, I don't remember. Tell somebody, what a shock. So, it's disobedience. It's disobedience. And you just get rejected. And I'll explain to you how you get rejected. At the fifth point, number two. So, reasons why you must not fornicate, adulterize, homosexualize, lesbianize, pornographize, or sexualize, immoralize. You know, it pays to obey God. You see, obedience is difficult. Try disobedience. Try disobedience. By the time I've given you all the reasons why not, you see that it's worse. That holding back, like that black beauty that I left, the pain I went through, just like Joseph, there are far more rewards. If you'll be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. All you need is at your next session, say no. I'll repeat it. At your next session, at your next black beauty session, say no. Yeah. Next opportunity, say no. Tell someone, say no. Look in the person's face. Or fornication is not easy to find. Say no. Chances are that if they can't look in your face, they are. Hey. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Number two, fornication destroys your soul. Destroys your soul. Fornication, adultery, sexual sins destroy your soul. Think it's your vagina that it destroys. Destroys your soul. Destroys your soul. Destroys your soul. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32. The Bible says over there that, but whoso forgive. But whosoever commits adultery with a woman, or therefore, for that matter, with a man, lacks understanding. Yeah, in fact, I forgot. The other cousin is bestiality.
bestiality. Because people are sleeping with dogs now. Even goats. Goats are now suffering. Yeah. I hear even horses are suffering. Horses are suffering. Pigs are suffering. You can't easily leave your pet with somebody. Oh. You can't let children go and on a night out. Oh. I don't do sleepovers. Because unfortunately, fornication, it doesn't stick to you like a stain. We don't see it. Hey, says, he that doeth such a thing, sleeps with another person, destroys his own soul. Destroys his own soul. Destroys his own soul. This means fornication will have an effect on your spirituality. You destroy your soul. Some Christians even, you know, there are Christians that come to church after fornication. I won't be surprised if somebody has dripping sperm as you're sitting here. My goodness. Oh, no. And the sperm is not from your husband. Now, I'm serious. I was there one day in New York when, after preaching, I shook a certain lady's hand. And after shaking the hand, I felt something. No, it wasn't sticky. Hey, stop. Don't stop. Don't spoil the preaching. Look, all you who think I shouldn't say these things, if they are being done, you must say it. Where else should you want to hear this? They don't teach it in school. In fact, they teach, encourage it in school. And you as a parent, you won't say it. Let me say it for you. Every parent, clap for the Lord Jesus. The lady came. Akwi, come. Imani, come. The lady came. No, Imani, sit down. Akwi is married, so it won't be like that. And then I shook the hand. And after that, I asked the lady, so how are you?
Yes.
Said, are you living poor, pure? They said, oh.
Hey, Pastor.
I said, do you have a boyfriend? Not exactly. What do you mean, not exactly? Oh, there's a guy who comes around, but say, have you been sleeping with a guy? You know, I can say these things.
Oh, yes.
I was standing exactly. In fact, it was this way. She was standing this way, and I was standing this way. Have you been sleeping with a guy? Yes, Pastor, unfortunately.
When was the last time?
I said, what? When was the last time?
Oh, Pastor.
I said, don't say, oh, Pastor. Then you are asked the ultimate question. I said, is it this morning?
Hey, Pastor.
That's exactly how she behaved. Like she was there. Oh, Pastor. Say, so you mean, so you are just coming from there? They just nodded. Said, leave my hand. And I talked to her. I said, break up with the person now. Immediately. I said, call the person for me from today. This. I went into. I said, to the glory of God, that she was better. She became okay. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You are blessed. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So you realize that your spirituality usually takes a nosedive when you're into fornication and adultery. You know, it takes a nosedive. You can't even read the Bible. No, you can't pray. It's hard to come to church. You can't witness. You can't preach. Your spirituality takes a nosedive. Your Bible is there, but you can't go. Reason is that you have a soul that is born again. I believe everybody here is born again. There's something inside of you that does not like it. Yeah. Just like Paul. The things that I don't want to do, that rather I find myself doing. So it is a sin in my elements that is now leading me. So your soul is destroyed. Your conscience is seared. And gradually, as you operate in the sin of stubbornness and disobedience, your conscience is seared. Your soul is destroyed. Your soul means the part of you that makes decisions. Now, you don't have the strength to say no anymore. It becomes a part of you. That is when now you start defending it. One person told me, Pastor, I'm telling you, when I came to the church, I had so many vices. I was drinking, I was smoking, I was fornicating, I was doing all kinds of things, stealing. I've stopped this, doing drugs, I've stopped the drugs, I've stopped the stealing, I've stopped the drinking, I've stopped the smoking. But this fornication, I think God wants me to continue. Yeah.
The person told me that, and he said the reason is that if God didn't want me to continue, he would have helped me to stop, just like the other ones. No. What is happening is not that God wants you to. God is not a man to lie. His yea is yea, his nay is nay. He doesn't say one thing and mean another. You know, he still is not happy. But at a point, your soul gets destroyed. Your ability to make decisions, your soul is your will, your intellect, your emotions. They all become warped. You can't make good decisions anymore. So the next thing is to defend it, to justify it. That's how homosexuality begins. There's nobody that you put a rod in the anus where there's stool and is happy with it, for starters. They're not happy. But as they keep going, they keep going. The guy is spoiling the preaching. Welcome back anyway. I don't know what he brought from Nigeria. Amen. Now, they're not happy. But as they keep doing it, look, pray for homosexuals. Pray for people who are hooked. Pray for pornographers. Many of them are like Paul in Romans 7. They want to stop. They like to stop. They can't. When I went to Manila, Bishop called for anyone who's homosexual. A guy walked up. Everybody wouldn't come. Then a guy walked up shaking and crying. And the thing was, it's hard. I'm trying. Pastor, help me. It's painful. So we have pity on them. And we don't kick them out of church. We help them. We help them. Preach to them. We don't agree with them. We stand with the Lord. But we help them. We will never agree with it. It's because that is not God's stand. Homosexuality will never be accepted by the Bible. The Bible is written already. Bible says don't add to it, don't remove. So it is settled. Thy word is settled forever. It is settled. So we know where the God stand is. So we will relate. Just like we don't like when you steal. But we won't kick you out. Because you went to, or when you lied. Otherwise, there'll be nobody in this church. But we will continue to hate lie. Hey! But God says if you don't pay tithes, you have stolen from him. Then we kick everybody out. Hey, our church will be finished. How many are here who don't pay tithes regularly? You see, they are also lying in addition to not paying tithes. Because we don't have 100%. And yet they are not raising their hands. We should have kicked everybody out. Can you imagine? That's how it would be. So, look. I read, and I'm going to be sharing with the young people. Maybe I should share with the adult because they're adult fornicators as well. I bought a series called The Overcomers. Conquer series. And it shares how the soul is. The soul is the mental faculty. Your ability to reason. Your thinking process is destroyed during it. Because there is your prefrontal lobe is the master decision maker. Now, it's control. Is from what we call the limbic system in the brain. The limbic system is the center for emotions, center for decisions, center for passion. When that thing has been trained over and over and over again in a passion as strong as the sexual passion. Sexual passion is the strongest, by the way. Very strong. You want to conquer Samson, use sex. Yeah, the strongest man in the world. The wisest man is King Solomon. The strongest man is Samuel. Yes, both of them were conquered by one thing. Sex. Bible says, by means of a whorish woman, or a woman who uses sex to trade, a man is brought to a piece of bread. Yeah. So, the center, that is the most... Look, a man is so foolish when he's sexually aroused. The limbic system is the only system in the whole body that the master center submits to. That's the only, nothing, the limit, that's why it's prefrontal, not even frontal, but before the frontal lobe, is the master that controls everything. There's only one center that is used that can overcome that center. It's the limbic system. And that's a center that is usually the most affected by these sexual sins and passions. And it destroys even your thinking. You don't reason normally. You're supposed to marry, you say you won't marry. You're supposed to go to school, you say you won't go to school. You say, oh, it affects everything. And science, you won't even eat. Then science has even proven that the effect of sex on the limbic system, put cocaine on one side, put sexual sin on one side, it's far stronger. When somebody is hooked to cocaine, he has more hope than the person who is hooked to that sexual sin. Yeah. You destroy your soul. You destroy your soul. Science proves it. You should never fornicate again. Say thank you. 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 You should never pornographize again. Say thank you. Number three. Fornication will destroy your body. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee fornication. Flee. Flee is between flying and running. It's faster than running. Usain Bolt's speed is not good enough when it comes to fornication. You have to run faster than Usain Bolt. You know, plane, when it's taking off, it has to overcome a certain velocity, then it flies. That's how you should treat fornication. You should fly at a speed that overcomes your running. Nobody can catch you. You dash. Yeah, you know the cartoon character Dash. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without his body, the body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body. You are destroying your body. I'll explain to you. I'll explain to you. The Bible says that, know ye not. In fact, let me read this. Can I take? Okay, I'll explain to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We read up to verse 12. Let's read from verse 13. I'll show you how come you destroy your body. Okay, accept that you destroy your body. I will lump them together and explain to you after the next point. Okay, you destroy your body. Now remember, your body and your spirit together. There's nothing like originally created like soul. Soul came as a result of the spirit and the body coming together. Bible says in Genesis 2:7, God created man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became what? A living soul. So he gave the body from the dust. He gave the breath from the spirit from the breath. And then the result was a soul. He became. God didn't give a soul. Didn't create a soul. Created spirit, created body. And then the combination became. So it's a mixture. It's a mixture. It's not a compound. It can be separated. At death, your spirit goes away and your body is left. It's a separation. Okay, that's not a compound. Compound is permanent. Mixture is temporary. So we are in this body temporarily. Now, when you destroy your body, your spirit has a difficulty. If your house is destroyed, you can't easily live inside. So when you say it destroys the body, we understand it destroys the soul. Now, when it destroys the body, it changes your body. And it makes it difficult for your body to become the vessel that's appropriate for your spirit to be inside. That's why fornicators, although it's not a spiritual sin, it affects your spirit. Because a certain spirit, Bible says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? So your body is a temple. Listen, if you find it difficult, when people were destroying the temple, Jesus Christ whipped them. Don't destroy your temple then. Don't destroy your temple. Because fornication destroys the temple. Yeah, and I'll explain to you. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 13, the Bible says, food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food. But God will destroy both of them. That means the stomach was made for food. It's natural for food. And food was made for the stomach. Both of them are physical and they will perish. But your body, you can't treat it that way. Now, the body is not for sexual immorality. It wasn't created for sexual immorality. but for the Lord. And the Lord was made for your body. The Spirit of God will not settle just, it will settle inside the body.
Right.
When you're born again, this. Now, when you make your body such that it's not the right frame, it will not. You know, there are certain things that you cannot just put in a certain body. Yeah, it just doesn't work. It's not compatible. It's not compatible. You grieve the Spirit. The Spirit can't be there. Spirit just goes, and another spirit comes to offer. Because in vacuum, there is nothing like a vacuum. So when you fornicate the body which was not made for sexual sins, you make it. The Spirit of God can't settle inside of you. That explains why you can't pray when you are fornicating. That explains why you can't read the Bible. That explains why you can't preach, why you can't witness, why you don't grow spiritually. Because there's no spirit to grow with. You grow just in sin. You grow just in evil. There's no spirit to grow with. It's left. That's why the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. And the Bible says they are vessels. They are vessels. They are not spirit. They are vessels. They are body vessels. But some are for honor. It's no movement, no movement. Some for honor, some for dishonor. You know, but the Bible says that if you will purge yourself, purge this body, suddenly the thing will change. Don't destroy the body, purge it. It will change. It will become that vessel that it was meant for again. Yeah. Purge it. Where is that Christian brother who's supposed to be there? 1 Timothy 2:20. You're just engrossed. Okay, you are trying to treat yourself. Okay, now, yeah. If you purge, he will make you a vessel and honor, meet, appropriate for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. You shall be restored in Jesus' name. It can be done in Jesus' name. This is what makes me have hope. For every fornicator, for every adulterer, for every homosexual person, for every pornographer, there is hope. There is hope. God says we have to purge so that that vessel will come back to normal. Prepared for every good work. You can still preach. You can still witness. Oh, brother, fornicator, sister, it doesn't matter. There's hope. Otherwise, I wouldn't be preaching this. There's no point. There's hope. And I'm going to share with you how to come out. How to come out. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Don't destroy that body. Don't destroy that body. Do you know, it's very interesting. Let me finish reading 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We are now at verse what? 14. You see how when you destroy the body, what happens? Verse 14. Now, God has not raised the Lord, but God had both raised the Lord and will also raise up as up by his own power. Now go on, verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Members means body parts. Take your body parts and join it to her. God forbid. Then verse 16, it says, or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? Now your vessel has changed. You are carrying a harlot's body. And you and I can understand that a harlot carries a lot of demons. Are you surprised that when you sleep with somebody, you carry demons too? Because you give away. The vessel changes. The spirit cannot be there. Therefore, you become joined and taken on the body of a harlot. For the two, he says, shall be one flesh. It's not a spiritual thing. It's not two spirits. It's two fleshes, but has changed your body. Your flesh is different. The vessel cannot contain the Spirit of God anymore. It's configured. It cannot. It's not compatible. It's not compatible. You've taken on a harlot's body. How will you feel if a harlot's preaching to you? No. No. The body is not compatible. Can't. Now listen to this. Verse 17, the Bible says that, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. That is joining the Lord is spiritual, but joining the harlot is physical. But it affects the spirit because the spirit cannot enter. Then verse 18. Flee therefore sexual immorality. For every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. You destroy your body. You make it not fit. Not appropriate. Killing yourself softly. Then verse 18 and 19 says, therefore, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost who is in you? And you are not your own. Ladies and gentlemen, you must understand these things. There's a reason why God sometimes finds it hard to work with us. But all that shall change in Jesus' name. All that shall change in Jesus' name. The best, unfortunately, didn't come today. Yeah. The best is this. Once this thing is changed, fornication makes you an incubator of evil spirits. Yeah. That's point number four. You become an incubator of evil spirits. Evil spirits. Revelation chapter 18, verse 1 and 2. Now you understand that the vessel is changed. The vessel is ready for not the Spirit of God. Some other spirit is coming. Some other spirit is coming. What is that spirit? Revelation 18:1. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. And then he said, verse 2. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, Babylon the great is fallen, is fallen. You are supposed to be great, a man of God, but it will never happen. You are supposed to be like Joseph, but it's not happening. You are supposed to be great like Joseph, but you fell to the temptation. You change your body, you change your vessel. It's fallen. They're great, but it's fallen. Great, but it's not going to be great anymore. Was meant to be so great in the career. Was meant to be so great a preacher. Was meant to be so great a family man. But it won't happen. It won't happen. Why? Why? Because he's become a dwelling place of demons. Incubator of demons. A prison of every foul spirit. And a cage for every unclean and hateful bird. How did he become an incubator of all these demons that are destroying him? That are destroying her, that are impairing his greatness. It's explained in verse 3. Because he has drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Ladies and gentlemen, now you know. Now you know. Now you know. Put your hands together. Let's rise to our feet. Yeah. Sometimes when these demons start operating, your marriage never works. Every job you get, you lose it. You always hang with demons' sickness. Nothing you do works. You never go forward. Man, there's an explanation. You shall be delivered in Jesus' name. You shall be purged in Jesus' name. This is the best message you may have heard ever. And it's not a message of condemnation. It's a message of mercy. When the Lord redeems, when he reveals it, he's about to redeem it. God sent you here to help you, to restore you. Knowledge is power. It says, because of lack of knowledge, my people, they perish. Great people. Babylon, number great, is fallen. But you shall rise. You shall rise. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Hey, let the weak say, though the righteous fall seven times, yet he shall rise again. He shall rise again. This message is to cause you to know. Knowledge is power. Because you are equipped with this knowledge, you will fight it properly. Some of you have accepted it. You have justified it. You have even sanctified it yourself. That is a good thing. But now you know. You know what kind of incubator you are. You've destroyed your soul. You've destroyed your body. Now you have been an incubator of evil spirits and you're walking in disobedience. It's not a good thing. If I tell you the fifth thing, you'll be surprised. Because you've made so tired with people. because you've had blood covenants. Every time you have sex, hymen is broken and blood is shed between the two. Mixed blood is always a covenant. That's number five. You've had covenants with people because of blood. Anytime there's sexual intercourse, the thinnest part of the body is the vagina and the skin of the penis. Every time there is sex, there's blood. In those days, when you go and you have sex first time at the wedding, they inspect your bed sheet, white, there should be blood because of hymen. Even without that, that's why the commonest place where diseases pass is the vagina. HIV cannot pass through your skin easily, but vagina it will, because it's so thin. Blood is exchanged. Every time you see HIV, gonorrhea, blood has been exchanged. And once you exchange blood, people go and establish covenants. Cut your hand, cut my hand. We mix it and we drink it, or we say, that's it, it is, that's it. That is why even in marriage, you see, it's not marriage until it's been consummated through sex. Because you must admit, the real covenant is not what you sign. It's the sex. Because by all means, blood will be exchanged between the male and the female. Even if you are not a virgin, blood will be exchanged. You make covenant. Some people who have evil spirits, you carry all of them. It's called soul tie. Your soul is tied to them. When you get married, you can't change. You're always looking for Jack. Jack, even when you are having an affair with your husband, you are thinking, Jack, Jack. One lady told me, Pastor, I must tell you the truth. After a message like this, said, every time I'm having sexual intercourse with my husband, I can't enjoy it until I think about Jack. I said, you have a soul tie. We need to break it. We need to break it. Some of you are contracted with women who are suffering. You are suffering too. It's a soul tie. You're tired. You can't forget them. You won't forget them easily without a spiritual break from it. It's a covenant. It's a covenant. It shall be broken in Jesus' name. It shall be broken. And therefore, if in their home, marriages always break, then suddenly your home, marriages will break. If in their home, they never have children, then you will never have children. If in their home, they die by accident, then you are dying by accident. It's a covenant. We've exchanged blood. But that's why I came with this message. Because minus you, you are being healed right now. You are being delivered right now. Put your hand on your heart. So it's not enough to just forget about the past. You have to break from the past. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pray to the Lord for mercy. Pray to the Lord for grace. Pray to the Lord for deliverance. Pray to the Lord for every evil of fornication never to affect you. Pray to the Lord for purging, for the blood. Today, as we come to the communion, speak that every covenant will be overruled by the blood of Jesus Christ. Every blood exchange that you've had, now the blood of Jesus will exchange, will take over. The covenant will be between you and Christ that overrules everything. Jesus. The power of God is here. The healing of God is here. The deliverance of God is here. The grace of God is here. The mercy of God is at work. I wanna be holy. Oh, I wanna be holy. Holy. Pass around the communion right now. Pass around the communion. Holy. I wanna be holy. Holy like you. Oh, Holy Spirit, purify me, cleanse and make me new. I wanna be holy, holy like you. I wanna be holy, I wanna be holy, holy like you. I wanna be holy.
holy like you. Oh, Holy Spirit, glorify me, cleanse and make me new. I wanna be holy, holy like you. What I should be, I wanna be more and more like him. I wanna be like Jesus. Yes, I wanna be more like him. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da. Every day changing me, he's making me what I should be. I wanna be more and more like him. Oh, every day, he's changing me, he's making me what I should be. I wanna be more and more like him. He's changing you. He's changing me. He's changing my past. Many of the couples, you were into fornication before you even got married. Many of our firstborns were born out of wedlock, although we look married now. But God is here, not to bring up your sins, but to wipe out your sins. Bible says, if he marks our iniquities, who shall stand? But the reality is that God is a covenant keeper. If you sign covenants, until you dissociate yourself, yes, and you disconnect. And when you disconnect, you can't just disconnect, you have to replace. Today, as we come to the communion, I want everybody who's ever fornicated, yes, before, including myself, to say, I disconnect spiritually from every covenant that has ever come through sexual immorality, even through the screen. There are some people, their pornography, they want a special girl. One person who stopped from pornography told me that, look, Pastor, I'm feeling lonely since I stopped. It's like, and the description was, it's like my girlfriend is gone from me. It's a soul tie. It will break today in Jesus' name. It shall break today in Jesus' name. It may have been 40 years ago, but break it. Because it can explain certain things that are going on. Just let's all say this. Almighty Father,
I come to you.
Knowing my sins, including sexual sins. Forgive me for all my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ. I repent of all my sins. I believe Jesus is the Christ. The Son of the living God. By his blood, I am saved. I am saved. Saved from my past. Saved from previous covenants. Born again with a new life. Today I disconnect from every previous covenant, blood covenant that I acquired through sex. I pray for restoration of my broken body. Because of your body, which was broken for me, restore my body, repair my body, a new vessel, a vessel unto honor, prepared for the master's use, appropriate for every good work. Purge me by the blood of Jesus Christ. Purge me by the blood of Jesus Christ. Every human being, together with every spirit that they carried every human being that I've had sex with, whether virtual or real, whether through the screens, through the telephone, or through body, I disconnect myself. I dissociate myself. I annul every contract in the name of Jesus Christ. I made the contract when I didn't know about it. Forgive me. Even for those that I knew, I refuse them. I reject them. I disconnect from them. I dissociate from them. They are annulled. I render them null and void. I am part of that contract, but I refuse it. It takes two. It takes two. I am withdrawing my part. Ah, Jesus, come in and establish a stronger one with me by your blood, by the blood of Jesus Christ. A covenant that nobody can replace. A permanent covenant is with me. Repairing the body, repairing the soul, repairing the spirit, evicting every evil spirit from this temple of a vessel that is my body. I refuse every past relationships. Thank you, Father, for cleaning me out, for healing me. Somebody is about to do well. Somebody is about to be blessed. Somebody is about to be blessed. Somebody is being blessed right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you glory. Begin to thank the Lord for healing. Thank the Lord for deliverance. Thank the Lord for grace. Jesus Christ's mighty name. Hallelujah.
We believe the Word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive, Bartlett, Tennessee, this and every Sunday at 9 a.m. and again at 10:45 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Be blessed.